Good afternoon, Taylor family and friends. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome back to Taylor Tabernacle Live, where our physical church is located in Philadelphia, PA, and the dynamic, and I mean dynamic, Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. My name is Sister Kim. Please allow the next 30 to 40 minutes be some type of ministry to you. Let it be the gospel. Let it be God's truth. This pandemic has caused so many changes in our daily living. But isn't it awesome? Isn't it amazing that there has not been one change in our God? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So, before my beloved husband comes before us and blesses us with the word, our lovely daughter, Logan and Jessica, are going to lead us in scripture and prayer. Thank you, and I'll see you back in a bit.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Philippians 3, 13, and 14, NIV version. Oh, it's the afternoon. Good afternoon. Today I will be reading Philippians 3, 13, and 14, NIV version. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Father God in heaven, I want to thank you for allowing us to be on this live today, to be able to gather here as a community and still be able to worship you. I pray for the many families struggling with getting supplies, those whose members have survived and have died from it and cannot see their past loved ones, those like you and I who are confined to their homes and must adjust to a new lifestyle. God, thank you for bringing us thus far in this pandemic, and I pray that you'll continue to pull us all through. In these times, we are all calling on your name, and I know you hear our cries. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen!
Now my sister and I will sing a song for you all, Rescue by Lauren Daigle.
All right. Sing, baby.
I hear your whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night in two. I will rescue you. Yeah. I hear your whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, too, I will rescue you. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, too, I will rescue you.
Okay? He's that powerful. So thank you, ladies. for the song, for the prayer, for the scripture. Thank you, my lovely wife, for the welcome. Look, I don't know what you got in your bag that allows you to recognize God as being God, but you have to have something.
Yes.
Me, sometimes a lot of times, it's my wife. When I look at her, I see her in action. I say, you know what? God must really love me. You know what I'm saying? Because, I've done too much for God to treat me the way he's treating me. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking, I've done too much on the wrong side for God to be blessing me so much. And when I look at my wife, I think, wow, he must love me. Or either he think I'm some other norm. But either way. And to my wife, I would say, I love you. You are my bestest friend. Right? We have celebrated our 21st anniversary and still are. We're still in the midst of it because we had so much drama coming in between of it. But happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary to you too, baby.
Thank you. And this is, and look, for those of you who want to be married, are married, thinking about it, look, it can be done with God, right?
Yes.
Right? It can be done with God. And I thank him for my wife. I do. I really, really thank him for my wife. All right. Now, I need to get into the scripture. I need to twist the throttle or put my foot on the gas so we can keep on moving. Logan?
Yes.
Got me on the clock?
All right,
put me on the clock. All right, here's the scripture. Listen, today, I'm thinking... All right, I want you to keep this in mind while I go through this stuff. Insurance commercial. And actually, I'm saying this because it's been relative to my life. Right? But just think of the insurance company where the guy says, you know, I just crashed into my garage or I just did this, whatever, am I covered? And the guy says, from the insurance company, saying, yeah, you're covered. And then he says, well, what about this? And he says, yes, you're covered. And he's like, what about this? And the insurance guy says, you're covered. So, I want you to listen. This is a letter from Paul that he's writing from prison with Timothy to the church of Philippi.
All right.
Right? And I believe it's relative what I'm doing because he's writing from prison. Anybody feel like you in prison right about now?
Yes.
Sometimes it does, right? Everything's a little different. Everything's a little bit more confined. But here we go. Now, excuse my papers if you see them, because we're going to have to read a little bit. All right? So, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. This is a letter from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
Who belong to Christ Jesus,
yes.
Including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I thank God, I give thanks to my God whenever I pray. I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it to now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue this work until it's finally finished.
Yes.
On the day when Christ returns. So it is right that I should think or feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news.
Amen.
God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in the knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Jesus Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of salvation, the righteousness, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message.
Yes.
Without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others don't have pure motives, and they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether the motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better.
Yes.
But if I live, I can do no more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. For I am torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive, so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's done or is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again, or hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Yes. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been not only given the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are all in this together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Yes.
So real quick, I want this letter is for you. This letter was written by Paul to the church of Philippians, but it is for the church, period, you and me. And I really, the letter pretty much is self-explanatory. I want to touch on some points, but what I really want you to feel is Paul's passion, Paul's purpose, and his boldness, okay? Because that's what we have to be like, all right? Because our believers can have profound contentment, serenity, and peace, no matter what happens. This peace, this joy, comes from knowing Christ personally and from depending on his strength, not our own. We can have peace and joy even in hardship. As a Christian, we must not, cannot rely on what we have or how much we have or what experience to give us joy, peace, or even keep us grounded, keep us from freaking out like the rest of the world.
Yes.
We must live trusting Jesus. And I think you just heard it. He's given us the ability to believe.
Yes.
The ability or the privilege of trusting in Jesus Christ. So, my friends, we got to live on what we know about God through Jesus Christ. If you only know one scripture, build on that. Recite that. Live by that. Amen? Stay calm. Be patient. You're covered. He will rescue you.
Amen.
So look, I know I got a long letter, and I know time is of the essence. Time is short. So I'm just going to point out a few things, okay?
Okay.
All right? Real quick. So number one, for all of you, Paul writes in verse 6. He says, I am confident that God, who began a good work within you, will continue this work until the end, until Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Count that as a promise in your purpose. Right? Count that towards your purpose. Right? It's not just you. God did it. You're covered. It's like in your policy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Verse 7, I just want to read this real quick. He said, it is right that I think about you this way, loving you like I do. And this is the reason. He says, you share with me a special favor of God, both in my imprisonment, in defense, and confirmation of the truth, of the good news. God gives you favor. I know this is self-explanatory, but I want to encourage you, while you're going through what you're going through, while you're in where you are, while you're confined to the house and got even more drama going on, you have a special favor on your life with God. And that is to be able to give the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 9 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's the knowledge. And the understanding, think about it like this. You already have it. He's praying that it continues to grow. A certain discernment, understanding, a certain discernment a perception, some kind of insight. God gave it to you already. As you study, as you pray, it grows. And you got to believe that so you can act different. All right? I'm going to leave you alone. No, I'm not. This is Paul's letter. This is Paul's letter. Verse 10. I want you to understand what really matters. Some people shook. They messed up. Yeah. Corona got them tripping. And it may get you too, along with all your other stuff. Because remember, we were already living and then bam, here this comes. But, your Bible might even say, for this next part, so listen, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day Christ returns. Some of your scripture might say, so you can live approved. And the translation right here literally means judged by sunlight. So this means you're being tested. You ever get a $100 bill? And if you got an extra one, slide one my way. But you get a $100 bill, a $50 bill, even a $20 bill. Some people, especially $100, because me, if I see $100, yeah, I'm testing it to make sure it's real. And that's what happens. So this meant that's what they did with the gold. They tested it or judged it by the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like you hold up a dollar bill in the sunlight, you know? That's all that means. So I'm saying, put that in your bank and understand that you have been tested.
Mm.
Approved. You are approved. That favor of God got you approved.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
So you can keep on walking. Look at verse 12. And I'm just skipping through these a lot because I want to get to some other things right here. Brothers and sisters, okay, listen. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, everything that has happened to me has happened to me here, meaning him in jail and in prison, has helped to spread the good news.
Mm.
I'm going to get on focus a little later. You have to stop thinking about your drama as being your issue when it's really designed to push you to where God needs you to be.
Yes.
That's why James said, I count it on joy when I fall into diverse situations, right? Some things we won't do. That's why people get personal trainers. Right? You want to go exercise? You want to change your... No, you can't do it by yourself. Personal trainer pushes. So, listen. Going through your stuff, you get pushed to it. Paul is saying here, look, y'all don't understand. Everything I've been through has put me to this point to help advance the good news. Okay? Look at verse 15. Listen to this. Okay. Look at verse 15. We're getting to what I want now. Remember, Paul has got some kind of unreal passion about Christ. I mean, he's supercharged. Supercharged so much that he's preaching from prison. He's sending out letters to the point that the whole palace guard is on it. That believers, not just in Philippi or Philippians where he sent the letter, but people where he is, they're getting bolder and speaking out about Christ. Listen to this, 15. It says, it's true. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. Mm-hmm. But others are preaching Christ with pure motive. They preach because they love me. For they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motive. As they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition. Not sincerity, intending to make my chains more painful. They want to make, they mocking him, he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But listen to what Paul says in 18. He said, but that doesn't matter. Whether the motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached.
Yes.
Look, either way. Now understand, they're going to be judged. But the realness of the situation is the word is getting preached. So preachers, evangelists, saints, wannabes, keep on preaching. Keep on telling the story, the good news, so that somebody, not just even somebody, gets saved. You got to understand this, so that God gets the glory. Amen? It's like we work for him. Listen. Listen. Everybody know the Great Commission? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That's the Great Commission. Listen to this. He says, 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples. He said, look, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So you need to put this in your bank. This is another one to put in your bank.
Amen.
Right? About why you shouldn't worry. Stay calm. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And you're not going to get there unless you're in the Word. Teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. Mm-hmm. Listen, you're covered. He will rescue you. Amen?
Amen.
Look at that, just so you know, not only is this given to the church, to all the believers, mm-hmm. Listen, how can he do this? He said, all authority has been given to him to do just that. Not only to command you of it, but to protect you while you're doing it. Did you hear that? Lo, I'll be with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is stuff we got to keep in the bank. This is stuff you have to remember when you're going through. Right? When you're struggling. And sometimes you want to struggle just because you talk about God, talk about Jesus. Amen? So look, verse 19, he says, I know that as you pray for me and the Holy Spirit helps me, this leads to my deliverance, my salvation, my rescue. I'm going to leave that alone. I don't have to do no more today.
Amen.
He said, in 20, he said, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I'm alive or dead. Mm-hmm. So understand. So he's saying, to live means living for Christ. Dying is even better. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Why is that so significant? For him, he said, but if I live, I can do more. I can do more for faithful work for Christ. And I really don't know which is better. I'm between two desires. I long to be with Christ. Mm-hmm. Which would be far better for me, but for your sake, for my beloved, for my mommy, my daddy, my brothers, my sisters, my daughters, my son, my grandkids, my granny. Hey, granny. So it would be better that I live because I can still help teach you, guide you. That's what he's saying to the church of Philippians. That's what he's saying to us. That's what you have to understand, is be okay if I die because I know I get to be with Christ. See, he's not saying this because he's in prison, because he's being persecuted. Yeah, that may have been part of it, you know, it's a good thing, but he knew so much about Christ. That same way he was witnessing, that it would be better for me if I die. But if I'm living, I can continue to help you. I continue to do God's work. I can continue to spread the good news that God may get the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to keep on moving. So listen, that's why you got to change your focus. Verse 27 says, above all, you must live a citizen of heaven, live like a citizen of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of God, of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come or go, whether I come or not, I know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news.
Yes.
Listen, don't be intimidated. Verse 28. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies, because they're going to stand up against you. They're going to rise against you, not only because you're a Christian, but especially if you're trying to give a word. So I want you to stay focused. All right? Check your focus. Listen. Write this one down. Matthew 22 and 23.
All right.
All right? So listen. It's not only what you're looking at. It's how you see. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is, that light is in you, if the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? What are you looking at that darkness can overtake the light? Watch your focus. Stay focused. Matthew, look, in Matthew, still in the same chapter, chapter 6, Matthew tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, don't worry, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, Matthew 25 starts off, I'm just going to read this, what it starts off with. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 27. Therefore, do not worry. Verse 31 starts off. Therefore, do not worry.
All right.
Verse 34, therefore, do not worry. All right. Okay, so I believe you can see somewhat of what I'm doing here. So this up here says the world, right? And this is going to represent the world. And then this is the kingdom. The kingdom of God. And this is going to represent the kingdom of God. And what I want you to understand is that, so it's like it's two separate things, and there's a void in between. Like you can't get from here to here, right? We can't jump it. We can't even swim it because it's too far down to get there, right? So we got the people living here in the world, right? And, let me see, I'm going to draw a nice bush and trees over here, right? So, what's over here? Let's quickly put this. So we know that God so loved the world, but yet, when we talked about in this letter, the children of God, we know that even though you're of the world, you're not a child of God. You're a creation of God,
mm-hmm.
But unless you accept Jesus Christ, right? So what's over here? So we're going to say, number one, our mortality, right? So death is here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you think is on this side? Or do you want to just, we want to just go down one side?
Up to you.
All right, so I'm just going to say life is over here.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry if you can't see it all, but for the preservation of my markers, I want to make sure I write small enough, okay? Now, over here, look, think about hate. People of the world. We got hate. Oh, that's a good one.
Hate.
So what would they give us over here? What are we thinking?
Love.
And this is not just any love, because we got passion. We got lust over here. We got all that kind of stuff. But this is God's love. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not only God's love, but this is love for people, right? Not only agape, but hey, Philippines. All right, so give me something else.
Stress.
Ooh, how many people stressing this day and age, right? Stress. And I got a witness about that right there. Okay. Come on, give me some more, quick.
Peace.
So at the same time, look, love, peace, let's take the fruit of the Spirit. Let's count them all. Right? Okay. Hate, death, stress.
Darkness.
Pain. Remember darkness? We just talked about that. Pain. Some people are stressing. So over here, we got light. The light, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got healing. Right? We could list more and more.
Mm-hmm.
We got, I'm going to write this, look, foolishness. Because, oh, wickedness.
Greed.
Right? So over here, we believe. Over here, we have redemption.
Flourish.
Over here, we have the blood. All right, now look, I'm going to stop right there. And salvation. I'm going to put sin versus damned. Listen, why is the blood important? The blood important. The blood is the whole thing. And this is what I believe. Not only all that other stuff that we read that Paul understood, but I think this more than anything. The blood, we understand from Old Testament, was a way to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Without getting too deep and taking too much longer, the blood was the key, the contract.
Mm-hmm.
You put your lamb or whatever, I brought mine, we cut it, we spilt the blood, and we both insigned through the blood. Where God made the agreement with Abraham, he said, wait a minute. To make this better, I'm going to do both parts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Abraham brought the offering, but God did the both parts. And he did it again later. This time he brought his own sacrificial lamb. All right? So I want us to get that, because then we know how great. This is why Paul was like, I want to go see him.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And be with him. Because of what he's done for me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, how do we get from here to here? How do we get to the blood? Whose blood? We said it was the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. So, it's only one bridge. Only one way. And I know Jesus said, I am the way,
mm-hmm.
the truth, and the life, right? So, this one way over this bridge, look, and this was the dividing line. Look at that. This one bridge is Jesus. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, I want to get us through this. Now I want you to just see that Jesus pays it all. I'm putting the beard because I believe he has beard. Right? So, If you can understand this and you can believe this, then you know that it was only by him, by what he did here, that saved us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was only him. It was the blood. The blood was the contract. Blood was the currency. Jesus was the down payment. Amen?
Amen.
So look, real quick. John 14:1-4, that's what I'm going to leave you with. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Be calm.
Yes.
You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again to receive you to myself, the down payment. And listen, how do we get here? Who is he coming back to get? He's coming back those who believe. Right? He said that where I am, you may be also. Listen, this is it. To get from here to here, you can only go by way of Jesus. You can only go by the belief that he bled, suffered, died, that he came to the planet. You got to believe in a word called incarnation, where God was incarnated into the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for us to get from here to here, we got to go through the blood. And once we go through the blood, we're covered. Not only covered by the blood, we're covered by the love of Jesus Christ. So I know we're going through it. I'm going through it. I want to pray for everybody now because it's such that atmosphere is set. God's anointing has fallen. But first, I want somebody to understand that Corona is here. And let me tell you how my week went. I got to tell my story. So, Thursday last week, a week ago Thursday, my wife calls me at work. She's home with the kids. Kids are doing school. My wife is working. She says, the roof is coming off. And I'm like, what? So she told me that shingles were blowing off the roof. So, I don't know. What compounds it is the fact that my house is 5 years old. We just moved in. We still high off the, you know what I mean, off the new house, you know what I mean? We're still filling it with stuff, you know? We're still painting. That's how new it is. So when I heard that the roof was coming off, I'm like, whoa. But yet, it's just old enough that some warranties, new build warranties, are expired or expiring. But when we start making phone calls, and wait a minute, that's not even the main thing. My wife calls me back. Now at this point, I'm annoyed because I'm at work. I can't do nothing. She calls me back. The rain? No, she didn't say it like that. She said, it's raining in Logan's room. I'm done. So I come home and we start making phone calls. Insurance, the home builder. And so as I'm running through the house checking things, my wife was cleaning in the bathroom. And she left the bucket in the bathroom with the mop. I ran upstairs, you know, I was actually going to change my clothes. And guess what? I don't know. My phone was in my hand because we had been making phone calls. But my phone was in my hand. And somehow, it flew out of my hand. Landed in that bucket. And this is all the same day. The roof, the rain in the house, and my phone landing in the bucket. I mean, it sank to the bottom. What else could go wrong? But my phone is better. It recovered fast. And guess what? The home builder said you're covered. The insurance company said you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Whew. But even without the insurance, God said, stay calm. You're covered.
Mm-hmm.
He will rescue you.
Yes, he will.
Look, every day since, this is 6-7 days ago, every day since we had disaster relief sent by the insurance company, they came every day to check on their machinery to dry out my daughter's room before they could start working. Every single day. And in one of those days, I had a man come in. We had all this set up in the dining room. He said, yo, what's going on here? I said, well, we can't go to the church, so we simulcast from different places. And this weekend is our turn. He was like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe I'll tune in. He said, I didn't even realize people were doing that. So, I don't know. Right then, I became okay. Because even though I was struggling, I realized through that struggle, we had opportunity to witness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, all right, I want to pray on everybody who's going through it to stand up right now, wherever you are. Just stand up. Just stand up. Just stand up. So we're thanking God. Listen. And this might sound dumb, but I think God, for our situations, our trials and tribulations, for they push us closer. God said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And guess what? Through all this issue, it's causing us to look for God. And not just us. It's people out there who didn't know God till they looked at you and saw you going through it, but still witnessing, still praising him, still talking about the good news. God's getting the glory out of that from your struggle. So God, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for these trials, these tribulations. We thank you for the corona, God, that it may help us draw closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. It may help us even more boldly and more fiercely give the good news, talk about the good news, which is Christ Jesus. So, in my heart of hearts, I believe somebody's out there struggling even more so than me. And I pray that you recover, that you make full recovery. Father, right now, I want to pray for my granny in Texas. Keep strong. Amen. I want to remember Zakiya. Zakiya, I know you had great loss. And I know you had a whirlwind of events. But put your hand on your head. Sometimes you have to anoint your own self. Right where you are. Right in the middle of it. That goes for all of us.
Yes.
Touch. And agree, if it's just you and the Holy Ghost, touch and agree. Remember the word of God, and lo, I will be with you, for he loves us that much. Amen, amen, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And look, I want to add that the deacons and prayer team, they're waiting for your calls. Maybe it's something more specific you want prayer for. I want you to dial in, right? Call in. And if it's busy, call in again. The number is 215-748-4578. And go to the website. Go to the website at TaylorTabernacle.com. Thank you so much for joining the broadcast today. So, do whatever you can. Look, help us out. Hit subscribe when you go in to YouTube page. Go to YouTube, look for our page, Taylor Tabernacle, and remember. And remember. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a awesome, awesome word. Stay calm and know that you are covered. Yes, and you shall be rescued. Yes. We want to thank you for joining our broadcast today. To support our ministry through the giving of tithes and offerings, please go to our website at taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions to give online. Again, that's taylortabernacle.com/giving. Or you may do it by text. Yes, you may text in the passcode TaylorTabernacle61 to the phone number 73256. And you will get a link to complete your donation. Again, to the phone number 73256. Type in the code Taylor61. Amen. Or you may support the United States Postal Service. Hallelujah. And you may mail in your check to Taylor Tabernacle. And the address is P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Again, that's Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139.
We're going to pray out. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being with us today, bringing us together, one spirit, one body, in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep us safe, Lord. Keep us covered. We thank you for your covering. Now, Lord, may you watch between us while we are absent, one from another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands.